Yes. And some of, if there's anybody here who doesn't recognize that Michael is my husband, the only one who outranks him is God in my life. In my life. It's good to be back. Hey. Nice to see familiar faces and our friend the rhino lady. You are famous in North Carolina because Michael has posted pictures on Facebook. And people think he must be important since he knows a rhino keeper.
not only that, she's famous all around the world.
Yeah.
Because when we show people Jess's wedding picture,
yes,
we say the rhino keeper made her dress.
Yes, yes, yes. I saw the pictures of the dress today. It was exquisite. If you ever move to North Carolina, oh me, praise God. It's good to see you. Good to be back. I did something coming here that I've never done before, and that is I called and invited myself. Michael was coming, and he bought me a ticket. They were cheap tickets, so he bought me a ticket so I could come with him. And so I contacted Casey and said, is there any way I can bless you or serve you? You don't have to pay for my ticket. So I'm coming free. So she said yes immediately, and I came and had a wonderful time with the leader ladies this afternoon. We had a good time, didn't we? I believe God moved. The Lord gave me a word, literally a word, to bring to this church as soon as Casey and I talked. She asked me, do you know yet what you're going to speak about? And as she asked the question, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he said, yes, take a word about comfort. And so that began, I had been studying comfort for a while during the past year, just for myself. And I want to start out tonight by reading to you a passage that becomes very familiar this time of year because it's in the Messiah. We're going to go hear the Messiah tomorrow night. Anybody else going to hear the Messiah? So anybody who doesn't know what the Messiah is, it's a musical written by Handel, and it's where he put to music under tremendous anointing all of the scriptures surrounding prophecies of the coming Messiah. And where most of us are familiar with the Hallelujah Chorus, that's the end note of the Messiah. But there is a precious part of it where the choir sings the Word of God from Isaiah 40 that's been ringing in my spirit this year for several months now, not just around Christmas. And I want to start tonight by reading this passage. The Lord has been bringing to my mind that life is hard. In the Garden of Eden, it was wonderful. Before men sinned, before they fell, life was wonderful, and it was not hard. I mean, when a man planted a seed in the ground, it says that the ground readily gave forth fruit. He didn't have to fight weeds and pests and diseases. And when women gave birth to children, it wouldn't hurt. My goodness, that would be a plus. So in the Garden of Eden, life, if we had been able to stay there, it would have been wonderful. No problems, no worries. But we sinned, and when we sinned, we brought into the world sin, and sin had a consequence. God had warned them that the consequence was death. So ultimately, the ultimate thing was that as soon as they sinned, hanging over everybody's head was this threat of one day you're going to die. The New Testament talks about that the fear of death held people captive for all of their lives. That threat, we're born under that curse and that threat, we know we're going to die. And until we deal with that, we live under the fear of death. And that holds us captive, keeps us bound up, makes us afraid of stepping out and being who God created us to be. But it also created more things than just the physical death of our physical bodies. The death principle entered into all of creation. So the earth, instead of being friendly to us, was hostile. We life became difficult because we sinned towards one another. We're sinned against and we sin. So all of that stuff, and as time, as one generation followed another, sin was added on sin and on to sin and on to sin. And now we talk about generational curses. We want the Holy Spirit to set us free from the sins that our forefathers sinned and passed on those patterns. You know, we notice how things like alcoholism and schizophrenia and, well, we could make a huge long list of things that afflict human beings that tend to run in families. Cancer, heart disease, they run in families. That's nothing but the consequence of sin being passed from one generation to the next generation. Praise God, the blood of Jesus sets us free from those. But until Jesus came, we were under a bondage of death. There was no remedy for the difficulties, for the afflictions that we suffer. We didn't know any remedy. So it was easy for people to fall into a place of being without hope. And into that situation, into that mindset, into the heart of the Jewish nation came this prophet named Isaiah. And God gave him this tremendously powerful word in Isaiah 40 where he spoke, "Comfort, oh, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended." Oh my. "Call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, and that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." In the middle of this heartache that comes to everybody who's born into this world, there's nobody that gets through life without some heartache, without some hard times that we go through. Into the middle of the heartache of that we're born into, the Holy Spirit speaks this word of comfort. The Bible says that Jesus suffered everything and was tempted by everything that we're tempted with, but he never sinned. So we're told in Isaiah, over in, I believe it's 52, that Jesus experienced grief. Yeah. He bore our sorrows and carried our grief. So this word of comfort that's prophesied here in Isaiah comes to pass when Jesus enters the world scene. Hallelujah. Because he experienced all those things that are difficult for us when he walked on the earth. But he never sinned. He never struggled with unforgiveness. He never got bitter. He never got angry at God and said, "Why me?" He never gave in to any of the things that we struggle with. He was tempted to, just like we are, but he never gave in to them. He never sinned. Isn't that incredible? And because of that, now when we who have received him as our Savior go through these things, he carries them for us. He lifts them off of us because he knows what it's like. He sees where we are, and he, you know, kids, our boys, they're because of the age that they are, they're in their 30s now, but they tease about, "I feel your pain, brother." But in a very real sense, Jesus really does feel our pain. "I can sympathize and even empathize with you, but Jesus is one with you. And his Spirit, when he indwells you, his Spirit goes right to the heart of the issue and ministers his healing comfort." What I've begun to realize after the Lord spoke to me about this is that comfort is an absolute necessity for leading a peaceful, joyful life. And I have all my life, I think, underestimated comfort because I was operating under a wrong understanding about what comfort is. He says here, if we can go on in Isaiah 40, A voice is calling. It's in verse 3. A voice is calling. Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain. And let the rugged terrain a broad valley. In other words, he's saying, remove every hindrance to these people walking in my presence. Remove every hindrance. And Jesus is coming to you. You can't get to him, but he's coming to you, and he's removing every hindrance to our living in his presence. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Then, what is he talking about? When the comfort of God is released in the earth, then his glory will be revealed. God knows that our lives are hard. He knows we go through difficult things. He knows that we go through painful things. But he has sent the Comforter. Do you know what the Holy Spirit, what the New Testament calls the Holy Spirit? Do you know what his name is? His name is Comforter. His name is Comforter. The Comforter, we live in a place where the Comforter has come. We're not living under this that Isaiah said. Isaiah, the scripture I just read, that's a prophecy that he will come. And it's a prophecy that says that every hindrance to his coming and making himself real to us is being removed. It prophesies everything that stands between us and God, the high places, the low places, the deserts, the wilderness, everything that can enter our souls that keep us separated from God, that keep us from seeing him for who he is, all that stuff is being removed. God himself is removing it. And the Comforter is coming. So it's such a powerful message. But the thing is, we live in the age when the Comforter has come. He has already come. And it says, the New Testament tells us that nobody comes to the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. We think we decided to come to Jesus. It felt kind of like we decided to, didn't it? But in truth, we came and made that decision because the Holy Spirit drew us. The Comforter came and revealed Jesus to us. And he came and revealed our need for Jesus to us. If he didn't do that, we wouldn't know it. You can't figure it out. You know, faith is not logical. We talked about this a little bit this afternoon. The New Testament tells us in Hebrews 12, it says that that without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we know that one thing that God really likes is faith. We may not understand all about God, but one thing we can understand, because it's right there in black and white, is he likes faith, which sounds real good and everything, and we can worship and praise God for that. But at the same time, when you really think about it and apply it to your life, faith is not logical. And when you can see the result, that's not faith. So it means we walk by faith and not by sight. That means, and since God likes faith, he's going to engineer your life and my life so that it requires faith to live it well. And that means it's going to be hard. It also means that sometimes when God tells me to do something, when he gives me instructions about something, and I'm obedient, and I'm really pleased with myself for being obedient, I don't mean in a bad way, please, because it's fun to obey God. But frequently, the consequence of our obedience doesn't look like we thought it was going to look. Have y'all realized that? Yes. Yes, we have. And it's real easy to fall into the biggest pit I think there is for Christians, and that's a pit of bitterness. And I for a long time, I thought the biggest issue about bitterness was unforgiveness, that I needed to learn. And it is true. People can become bitter and have a root, what we call a root of bitterness in their heart, where everything is seen through glasses that are colored with bitterness. And because of unforgiveness, somebody does something, and it may be even a real thing. I mean, it really hurt. You may have been victimized. But our part as children of God, we have been given the burden of responsibility when we're hurt, because our responsibility in God is to forgive. So there's a burden of responsibility that comes on us when we accept Jesus, because he's forgiven us so much that he does not receive that when we don't forgive somebody else. So there's a burden of responsibility for the victim if you're a Christian. But there's another way that we fall into that pit of bitterness, and that is we get mad at God. Things don't turn out the way we thought they would turn out, and our heart wants to rise up and accuse God. Are you following me? We get disappointed in God. We get disappointed in life. We're disappointed in ourselves. We get disappointed with our friends, and that can real easy just slip into an accusation in our heart against God, and it's poison. The Bible says it defiles many. We had a lady that we ministered to for years back when Michael was first in ministry, and one Sunday I had a vision of her walking down the aisle in our church, and she had, you know, those things like the Chinese people carry across their shoulders that have buckets hanging on either side, and she had these two buckets on this, like a yoke, I guess you'd call it, and it was full of vile, stinky, nasty stuff, and as she walked down the aisle, those buckets were slopping on people, and we realized that we had not taken seriously the bitterness that was in that woman, and that she was constantly spilling out on people in the congregation, and we needed to pursue her in the name of the Lord to help her to get healed and to pull out that root of bitterness, and God did it. He did it. She was very angry at God over things that had happened to her as a child. That happens to us, but it will defile many. You can't keep it a secret when you're bitter. It comes out in what you say. The thing is, one of the things that will heal or prevent that bitterness from forming is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of times we can feel justified in carrying a grudge. I have ministered to a lot of women who were molested, for instance, when they were children. And they feel justified in the anger and the resentment that they still harbor. I don't want to forgive him. He deserves whatever bad stuff he can get. I don't want good things for him. He deserves bad things. We justify walking in unforgiveness. But Jesus says, unless you forgive, you won't be forgiven. And bitterness defiles us first, but then it defiles other people around us. The same thing. Things happen that are not what we expect, and we're disappointed in life, in the outcomes in life, and it's easy for us to get angry at God. Well, God, I did what you said, and now look what's happened. Something like this happened to us. We had three major places that we had built into and spent a lot of the years since we came to the Lord and entered into ministry, building ministries in three different places. And in the last two or three years, they've all crashed and burned. One day it hit us. One was in Iceland. Another was a network of churches we had. And another was a church we'd started, which is still going, but it's got a little bit different DNA now. And so I started looking at that, and I started feeling, good grief, you've been in ministry all these years, and what have you got to show for it? That was the enemy. That was the enemy. And he was trying to lure me into that pit. Into that pit. We recognized it, and the Lord has healed us, and we've went through forgiveness and, you know, all repentance and all that stuff, so that we're okay. But I realize how easy it would be to fall in there, except for the Comforter. All the things that happened to us were painful, and God didn't say it was wrong for us to feel the pain, but we need to receive His comfort. The comfort of God heals us. And a lot of times when somebody is sick or somebody needs ministry, needs deliverance, needs whatever, we all have have issues in our lives, a lot of times people need to be comforted before they can receive the healing. They need to be comforted before they can bare their souls and let you in to touch the places that need to be healed. Are you with me? We need to learn. We need to learn. God wants to show us His comfort. The other neat thing that happens with comfort, if you got your Bible, you can turn over to 2 Corinthians. You imagine that comfort is so important that the Holy Spirit, who is God, calls Himself the Comforter. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. I love that. God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Notice it says all our affliction. Who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Do you know, in Jesus' first sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." The power of the comfort of the Holy Spirit is so powerful that it's worth the mourning. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The comfort of the Holy Spirit is so powerful and so healing that it's worth the mourning to get the comfort. That it's huge. I had a friend some years ago whose husband passed away suddenly and with cancer. I met Laurie, and she was supposed to lead worship at a women's retreat that I used to have every year, and she needed to be released from that for that year, and so I went to see her, and sat at the table and listened to her talk about what her grief was like. And I said, "I just can't imagine. You know, Michael's my best friend. I can't imagine being without him. How are you coping?" And she said, "I pray in tongues a lot." And I laughed, and she said, "No, I'm really serious." "I'm really serious." She said, "Whenever that heaviness starts to come on me, I pray in tongues, and He lifts it off." And she said, "You know, the Bible says, surely He bore our sorrows and He carried our griefs." She said, "He literally carries my grief. And when it tries to come back on me and to weigh me down, I release the Holy Spirit, and He releases His comfort." And she said, "It's turned out that this experience that has been so painful with my husband and learning to live with that," and they had four kids that were still at home, she said, "this experience has so strengthened my relationship with the Lord that it's worth what I've been through." Isn't that something? Isn't that something? It's a lady that we know in Iceland who had a two-year-old child that died quite suddenly. I told the ladies about this afternoon. And she had two children, and they were kind of about a year apart. And when the second child was two, he suddenly just... he had a brain hemorrhage, and he died, just boom, like that. And Michael and I were just devastated for her. We were not in Iceland when it happened. And she had not been in her early Christian life real stable emotionally and mentally, so we were concerned about her. And I went to see her the next time we went to Iceland, which was about 3 months later. And I was absolutely bowled over. She was full of the joy and the peace of God. And after being there for about an hour, I said, "I need to ask you a question." And she started laughing. She said, "I bet I know what it is." And I said, "Well, my question is, you seem to be doing great. In fact, you look more full of the peace of God than I have ever seen you before." And you know what she said? She said, the worst thing that I could ever imagine happening to me happened. And God was more than enough. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. The comfort of the Holy Spirit is so powerful when He releases it into our lives that it's worth whatever we've gone through that released it to us. It's worth the mourning. It's worth the grief. It's worth the injustice that we see in the world. It's worth the disappointments. It's worth the lost job. It's worth anything and everything that you're going through, including the things that you might have thought before you went through them would kill you. How could I possibly live through that? And yet, the comfort of the Holy Spirit comes in. When He comes, His comfort comes because He is the Comforter. And that comfort paves the way for the healing, for the redemption, for all the things God wants to do in our lives because it softens our hearts to His love. This is what happens a lot of times. I'm married to a prophet, and he prophesies a lot. And the most common reaction of people when he says, thus says the Lord, and God says something to them that they know he could not possibly know, only God knew this thing. That's the comfort of the Holy Spirit coming to them because it says God loves, God knows you and He loves you. He knows right where you are and He loves you just like you are. If you never change, He loves you. His love gets released in His comfort. And it softens our hearts to receive all the other things that He wants to bring. All the anointing that He wants to bring. All the healing that He wants to bring. Because you know what? He's supernatural. And His comfort is supernatural. That was a huge revelation to me when I was first born again, that God was supernatural. That word kept rolling around in me, and I, what in the world does supernatural mean? I looked it up in the dictionary. It means He's bigger than natural. It means that whatever is weighing us down, God is bigger than that. Even, and maybe especially, when we are disappointed in God and there's an accusation in our heart against Him, you see, and a disappointment in where He's brought us. Because if you've been in the Lord very long, you learn He's in control. I mean, He really, you know, if I'm in a disagreement with God, guess who's right? And he's in control, and he does not give in to me just because I want something different from what He's got. He works in my heart. He works in my heart. I love that song, He Won't Relent Until He Has It All. I am all the time being surprised by God. Are you get surprised by God? I mean, I think He's leading me in a certain direction and He tells me to go somewhere and do something or just live in my daily life. I'm amazed at what happens. I was expecting something different. And most of the time, a whole lot of the time, it's so much better than I had imagined. I mean, God gets the most good out of everything. Have you noticed that? I mean, it's phenomenal how He does that. But sometimes I'm surprised and disappointed because things didn't turn out the way I thought they would. And that's the place where faith comes in. That's the place where we need to let our roots go down deeper into Him, into trusting Him, and let Him release His comfort into the place where we're hurting. Because painful things happen to people, even people of God. And it's important at that time to let the Holy Spirit comfort us. And as He does, He changes who we are and we become comforters. That's what this scripture in 2 Corinthians is about. He comes in and brings His comfort to me in a painful place. And that comfort is so powerful that it changes my heart. And I trust Him more than I did the day before. And He has us walk away from those places and run right into somebody who's struggling with the same thing. And we have an overflow. We have an overflow of comfort. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. Like our friend Newberg said, He's more than enough. The worst thing happened, and God was more than enough. I've got comfort overflowing, more than I need, so I can give some to you. Hallelujah. The Comforter has come. The Comforter is here, and the Comforter is in our hearts. He lives inside. So we don't have to go search for him. We don't have to go find comfort. All we have to do is relax into him. Say, God, I trust you. Like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So I relax, God. I'm going to quit striving. Forgive me for being bitter. Forgive me for accusing you. Holy Spirit, come and bring comfort to my soul and heal the places in me that are broken. Does this make sense? You okay? We're going to have communion now, right? And I think this would be a good time if there are places in you that the Holy Spirit's speaking to, places where you're a little disappointed in God, in your life. Disappointment is like a red flag for us as Christians. God wants us to trust him in all things. In all things. Paul said he'd learned in every circumstance to be content. Contentment only comes when we're trusting God and walking in his comfort, because everybody has pain. Everybody does. Every day's not the same pain. Everybody doesn't have, it isn't just a light, but everybody needs the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And he will draw us into that place of being content, no matter what our circumstances are, because we're dependent on him, we're walking in him, and we trust him. And he's a really, really big God. So as we take communion, if there's a place that the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on, this is a good time to get that right with him. To ask him to release his powerful healing comfort and to forgive you all, and to forgive you all the way down to the root of it, you know, so that you can walk in that comfort and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit every day.